Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our glorious Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if your God is so wise and if your God is so powerful, then why doesn't he do something about you fill in the blank? That's a concern, an accusation that we hear all too often, both from people inside the church as well as from people outside of the church. When we hear that concern, that accusation from people who are outside of the church, it all too often goes along the lines of, if your God is so wise and if your God is so powerful, then why doesn't he do something about all the pain and all the suffering that we see taking place in the world around us? Or, then why doesn't he do something about all the wars and all the crime that is taking place? Or, why doesn't he do something about all the people who are being used and abused by others? Or, then why doesn't he do something about all the fires and all the famines and all the disasters and all the homelessness that we see both on the news and in our cities? When we hear that concern, that accusation coming from people inside the church, it very often comes along the lines of, if our God is so wise and if our God is so powerful, then how come our congregation has so much difficulty growing? Or then, how come God allowed my loved one to die? Or then, why doesn't God heal my body or heal my relationship with my family? As followers of Jesus Christ, we of course know that the wisdom of our God soars far above and beyond anything that we can imagine. As followers of Jesus Christ, we of course know that the power of our God is absolutely unlimited. Today, as we continue our sermon series entitled, How's Your Followership Doing?, God the Holy Spirit directs our attention to the power of our dear Lord and Savior. To be more specific, today God the Holy Spirit focuses our attention on this truth. Followers of Christ see the true purpose of his power. In the verses that precede our text for today, Mark tells us that after the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had confronted Jesus about the followership of his disciples, Jesus left the area of Capernaum and went north about 30 miles to Tyre, a Gentile city in the land of Syrian Phoenicia. Since the people of this area were indeed Gentiles, they had absolutely no right to lay claim to the many wonderful, glorious promises that the Lord God had given to the descendants of Abraham. And yet, you may recall how a Greek woman, born in the area of Syrian Phoenicia, came to Jesus and begged him to help her daughter, who was possessed by an evil spirit. After Jesus reminded this woman, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs, the woman humbly replied, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Do you remember how Jesus responded to the humble words of this woman? He said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Did this Gentile woman understand the true purpose of Jesus' power? That event then leads us directly into our text for this morning, where Mark says to us, then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. This was not the first time that Jesus had been to the region of the Decapolis. This is where Jesus cast out a legion of demons from a man, allowed those demons about 2,000 to head into a herd of pigs about 2,000 strong, and then they raced down a hill and drowned in the sea. When the people of that area heard the kind of power that Jesus had and what he was able to do, we're told, they began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Did these people understand the true purpose of Jesus' power? At the same time, we're told that Jesus' power and news about Jesus' power continued to spread far and wide. That's why Mark tells us that when Jesus returned to the area of the Decapolis, then some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. Did these people understand the true purpose of Jesus' power? Jesus' reaction to the deep, heartfelt request of this man's friends is both astounding and insightful. Mark tells us, after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened and he began to speak plainly. We simply cannot overlook the deep care and the loving concern that Jesus showed to this man. Deaf people are oftentimes embarrassed by the frustration of having someone try to talk to them, but they don't understand what they're saying, and they are not able to reply to them. Many physical handicaps, such as blindness, are usually quite evident, but oftentimes we are not aware that a person is deaf until we try talking to them. Therefore, to spare this man any embarrassment, we're told, Jesus took this man aside away from the crowd. Since Jesus could not explain to this man what he was about to do for him, and since this man was so dependent on what he could see and on what he could touch, Jesus showed this man what he was about to do for him. Picture that scene in your mind, my friends. First, Jesus put his fingers into this deaf man's ear. At this, the deaf man may have thought, "Okay, you have my attention." Then Jesus spit and put some of that spittle on the tongue of the man who could hardly talk. At this, the man may have thought to himself, "All right, what are you going to do?" And then, to make sure that this man understood where his healing was coming from, Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. Instantly, this deaf man could now hear. Instantly, this man who could hardly speak could now speak plainly, or that could be translated as speak correctly. Do you think this man now understood the true purpose of Jesus' power? I'm convinced that at the very least, he was starting to understand. While Mark does not tell us anything about what this man did next, it's certainly not difficult for me to imagine that this man, who moments ago was deaf and could hardly speak, now knew that he had something truly amazing to talk about, like the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, or that man who had been healed of an entire legion of demons, or this Gentile woman whose daughter had been miraculously healed. This man could now use his newly functioning vocal cords to tell everyone he could about Jesus and about what Jesus had done for him. And soon, with his new gift of hearing, he would learn all about how Jesus of Nazareth innocently suffered and died on a cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem as the atoning sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. And soon he would hear all about how Jesus physically rose from the dead on the third day as the victor over sin, death, and the devil. Soon he would be able to confidently share with others not only what Jesus had miraculously done for him, but he would also be able to confidently share with others what Jesus had graciously done for them as well. Then why, my friends? Why were the very first words that this man and his friends heard Jesus say to them were, "Don't tell anyone"? Well, Jesus certainly did have the power to perform miracles. He just did not want to be known simply as a miracle worker. He did not want people to think that the true purpose of his power centered on healing them of whatever physical difficulty they may have. The true purpose of Jesus' power, the true purpose of Jesus' miracles, was to prove to people that he is indeed the fulfillment of the promise that the Lord God had made, the promise to send a Messiah into this world. The Holy Spirit points us to the true purpose of Jesus' power when he has Mark tell us, "Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. 'He has done everything well,' they said. 'He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" Did the people who saw Jesus miraculously heal this man connect the dots between this miracle and the messianic prophecy that we heard about in our Old Testament lesson for today? We can only hope and pray that they did. So what can we take home with us today, my friends? How does this portion of Scripture help us to understand and remember that followers of Christ see the true purpose of his power? There are two things that I want to emphasize here. First, I hope and pray that we will recognize and remember that the deep care and the loving concern that Jesus showed to this man here in our text, that same deep care and loving concern has also been shown to us. The one who was willing to touch a leper and use his power to heal them. The one who was willing to associate with tax collectors and prostitutes and use his power to forgive them. The one who was willing to reach out to Gentile dogs and use his power to answer their prayer is the same one who has come to you, the same one who continues to come to you on a very personal level and use his power to heal you, to forgive you, and to answer your prayers. Think about it, my friends. Through the sacrament of holy baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ came to us and he used his power to open your hearts so that you could hear all about the glorious message of what Jesus has done for you and loosen your tongue so that you could now bring your thanks and your praise to him. Through the sacrament of Holy Communion, Jesus comes to us and uses his power to release you from the shackles of sin and the burden of guilt that Satan tries to use to destroy your faith and your trust in Jesus. And through the power of his word of forgiveness, spoken to you through his called servants, Jesus comes to you and uses his power to heal you from your past and to strengthen you for your future. And one day when the good Lord determines that the time is right, Jesus will come to you and use his power to fulfill that glorious promise that he made to you. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Secondly, I hope and pray that as followers of Christ, as people who have experienced on a personal level the true purpose of Jesus' power, I pray that we will always remember and recognize that the deep care that Jesus showed to this person here in our text, the loving concern that Jesus still shows to us today, that deep care and that loving concern is also there for other people, people you may already know. Remember that this man who was deaf and could hardly speak, he did not come to Jesus all on his own. His friends brought him to Jesus. Who do you know that you can bring to Jesus? Maybe it's someone you know from work or from school or from the neighborhood. Maybe it's somebody you don't even know, somebody who is in another part of the country or perhaps in another country altogether. Perhaps it's a fellow Christian who, for whatever reason, has wandered away from the Lord. Since Jesus' deep care and loving concern is there for them, you can follow the example of the friends here in our text. If you cannot physically bring them to Jesus by inviting them to come to church with you, you can follow the example of these friends and beg Jesus to help them. To be more specific, you can pray for them. You can go directly to the Lord Jesus in prayer and beg him to help them. You can beg Jesus to use his powerful words to heal them by opening their eyes and loosening their tongues on a spiritual level. As Jesus himself tells us through his brother James, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If your God is so wise, and if your God is so powerful, then why doesn't he do something about you fill in the blank? My prayer this morning is that as followers of Jesus, we will take that concern, take that accusation, and correct it. As followers of Jesus, as people who by the grace of God see and understand the true purpose of Jesus' power, I pray that we will proclaim to others what Scripture so clearly proclaims to us. Since our God is so wise, and since our God is so powerful, he has provided the solution to our greatest problems. He sent his only begotten Son into this world so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Lift up your eyes to the cross, my friends, and you will see the true purpose of Jesus' power. To God be the glory. Amen. Please